For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the Dynasty Dugout Show, a podcast covering all things minor league baseball. Get a front row seat to the action with everything you need to know about the future stars of Major League Baseball. And now, here's your host, Chris Clegg.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome into the Dynasty Dugout Show. It has been quite a while since I have recorded an episode for the Dynasty Dugout Show. I do plan to get back to that pretty regularly. Some of you know, this year, during the middle of the season, I had a baby, and so it's been a big life transition for us, and obviously with all the stuff that I'm doing, kind of made it a little tough to find time to record as well. I do want to get back to recording pretty much daily. I hope to do that as we move forward with the offseason into the 2025 season. But I wanted to hop back on the mic because I just got back from the Arizona Fall League and I was able to see a lot of guys and I want to break them down. Not just statistical looks, tell you what I saw because there were a lot of fun players that I saw out in the AFL and here to break them down. We'll start with Glendale, so we'll just go alphabetical order. Today's episode will just be the Glendale Desert Dogs. They have an immense amount of talent, so I figured that would be enough to take up one show worth of time. So we're going to talk about Glendale today, starting with Andrew Painter. Obviously, he is the prize jewel of this team and really the prospects in the AFL. When you think about Andrew Painter, we think about someone who is one of the best pitching prospects in the game. So Andrew Painter, obviously a stud pitching prospect. He threw last Wednesday. Got to see him, as you can see here on the film. Painter looked really good. He did a lot of things that I wanted to see from him, which was really just command and throwing strikes. And I know that seems, you know, obviously simple. Painter's stuff was back pretty early. You know, first start back, we saw him look really good. The fastball touched triple digits in his first start. This start that I saw, the fastball touched 99. He consistently set 97. He threw a cutter in there at 93, 94. He threw a slider, 87 to 90. He threw a changeup in the 90-mile-an-hour range. And he dropped in his curveball, 77 to 80. So with Painter, this is every pitch that he threw that you're seeing right here on if you're watching on video. And the thing was that he really was competitive every pitch. He only had two non-competitive pitches in the start. There was one as I'm talking. He sailed another one. But he looked really good overall. He threw 25 strikes, 33 pitches. That's obviously always an encouragement. He looked comfortable on the mound. And I think that when you come back from TJ, you know, it's always about the command. Like, how is the command going to look? And with Painter, I thought overall the command looked really good. Now, the thing is that he is going to have to be on. Like, the fastball is good. Obviously, the velo is good and you can get away with some stuff. The fastball shape's pretty generic. It's not a super high IVB pitch. It's not a lot of horizontal movement. It's not a unique outlier release traits, but the secondaries are really good. I thought the changeup looked good. I thought the curveball really looked good and got a lot of swings and misses, a lot of depth to that pitch and two-plane break. And the slider looked good as well. So Painter, obviously, is one that I was pretty impressed by as we now jump to another video that obviously is not Andrew Painter. But yeah, I mean, when you look at Painter and you look at what he did, I came away pretty impressed, and I think that Painter is obviously somebody that, you know, is going to be viable next year for redraft. I look at Andrew Painter and think, this is the type of guy that is going to step on the mound. He may go the Paul Skeens route. I think that, you know, you look at him and you say, okay, like, maybe he's in AAA for the first month of the season, and then he comes up, and I don't see a reason why he won't be in the majors And I think 120 innings is completely reasonable. And with that, I think a good performance could obviously take place. So I'm certainly buying Andrew Painter for redraft. And obviously, Dynasty, you should have your shares regardless. Yeah. The next guy I want to talk about is Luis May. He's an electric arm. Maybe you've heard about May in the AFL. He touches triple digits. He's got really big stuff. Hadn't got his video on YouTube yet. Still got to work on that. But here's a couple pitches from May. His fastball touched 101.3. Obviously, getting Trey Morgan there with that running fastball. That slider there, really good offering, sits in the upper 80s. He's a heavy run fastball sinker type. He does a good job overall of keeping the ball down and away from hitters. He'll even run it in on a righty. And then the slider, pretty solid offering as well. So, you know, Luis May is interesting. I think that he has command issues, obviously. But when I look at a Luis May type, I think that he's probably one that's going to be a back-end bullpen type. And I think he could pitch in the Reds bullpen this year. I mean, there's no reason that he couldn't, just given the fact that we saw him and see what he's done in AA and even now in the AFL. I'm pretty excited about May and his perspective as to be a reliever this year. Saw Connor Phillips as well. Phillips was struggled with command. I'll say this. We saw the stuff with Connor Phillips. We saw what he could do. We've seen the ability to get guys out. This start was just full of inconsistencies. When I saw him from the standpoint of, we saw a lot of, you know, just non-competitive pitches. Saw a lot of just the ability, not the ability to throw strikes. And that was really tough. Now, there was a lot of good. I thought the slider looked really good overall. He threw the fastball. It's a pretty explosive pitch. The stuff is there. There's no denying that Connor Phillips has the stuff. And I think that that's the important thing to note. We've seen the ups and downs of Phillips throughout his career. Really good 2023, really bad 2024. But with Phillips, we were looking at an upper 90s fastball. It was 98, 97 pretty consistently. Curveball had good depth in the mid 80s. He did a good job of burying it down in the zone. He threw the sweeper in the upper 80s, 85, 87 range with a lot of horizontal movement. I just struggled with Phillips and his ability to throw strikes. Like, he really struggled with that. And that was my concern, that he was missing pretty badly at times. Seen a lot of the good here, but there was also a lot of the bad with Connor Phillips. He threw the changeup around 90, 91 miles an hour. I think it's an interesting arsenal. And I think that there's a lot to like with Connor Phillips. But at the end of the day, I'm still very concerned about his command because it was not there. I think that was his biggest concern, is the strike-throwing ability. And we saw that in the start. He just couldn't locate at all. He walked five batters in three innings. He allowed just one hit, which obviously that's an encouraging sign. He had six whiffs, one hit, but five walks in three innings just isn't going to cut it. So, you know, I think that this is a concerning thing for me, is how many strikes will he throw? Can he get to an average threshold to where he is able to stick as a starter? Right now, I think he probably profiles best as a reliever, but at the end of the day, we know the stuff is there and that he is capable of throwing strikes and being a starter. This next guy, Jermaine Rosario. Jermaine Rosario is a lot of fun. He's a Dodgers arm. He came in relief and he looked really, really good in his outing. His stuff plays. He's a smaller frame, but it's kind of an explosive fastball at the top of the zone, which I really liked. When I watched Jermaine Rosario, it was kind of like, okay, Dodgers, done it again. You know, fastball set 93 to 95, but very explosive. He threw his slider in the mid-80s. Really good depth there. Cutter slider at 87, 88. May have just been the same pitch. Curveball, he kind of pulled the curveball back and had a kind of wide range of velocity. You saw it 75, and I also saw it at 80. Same pitch, just a good, you know, variety of velocities there. And Jermaine Rosario also threw a changeup at 86, 85 range. This is an interesting guy. And, you know, obviously I've known the name, I've known about him, but when I watched Jermaine Rosario pitch, I came away pretty impressed, actually. I look at Jermaine Rosario and think that this is the type of arm that probably is in their bullpen pretty quickly. He's just got nasty stuff. Could he be a starter? Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't rule that out. But I think that Jermaine could absolutely play in a Dodgers bullpen sooner than later. So he's somebody that I'd be really excited about. You know, the shorter frame, he's got some longer legs. He's pretty explosive, good extension for the shorter frame. I think that Rosario is a guy to really know in their system. You see the slider there to lefty. He's not afraid to throw that slider to the back foot of a lefty and really get him out. So I came away really impressed with Jermaine Rosario. He's a guy that should certainly be on your radars, if not already. Now, Eric Swann is somebody that I actually did not see. I was very sad that he threw on Sunday. I had already flown out, and he ultimately was rained out after 8 pitches. So Eric Swann, Beck will actually see him tonight. They're playing a doubleheader. He'll pick up where he left off. I think Eric Swann is a really, really fun arm. Another Dodgers guy. He's a big 6'6" righty, big stuff. You know, he's averaging upper 90s on his fastball, sitting 97, 98, touching 99, which is awesome to see. You see the mid-80s slider. He throws an upper 80s cutter, low 80s curve, and a low 90s changeup. It's a deep arsenal. I think that Swann is somebody that's highly underrated in the system. Very sad that I did not get to see him. But look out for the video on him. Beck should get some good video of him tonight on Tuesday as we are recording this. And you should be able to see a little more about him. But I do want to mention Eric Swann on this Glendale team because he's been awesome so far this AFL. And I think he's one of the bigger breakouts here where I look at Eric Swann. Maybe he's a reliever because the command and control. But the stuff is most certainly there with Eric Swann. He is a ton of fun. You know, I think that this is a name that most will know pretty soon. So Eric Swann, watch out for him. I saw Grant Taylor as well. Grant Taylor was honestly a bit underwhelming, more due to the fact that we only saw him pitch for an inning. Went to his start in Scottsdale, and he threw one inning. Now, Taylor, it was not from a lack of stuff. He was BABIP to death pretty bad. I'll put the video on here so you can see if you are watching along. As always, all these videos will be on YouTube as well. I encourage you to subscribe. Grant Taylor pitched well, I thought. He was BABIP to death. He had an easy play. Matt McClain had an easy play at second right here early on to Adrian Pinto. Did not make the play. So the game started with a infield single that probably should not have been. So right off the start, it's like, okay, you know, we're already starting off bad. And then he threw a lot of pitches in the first just from getting BABIPed. I mean, he allowed another infield single, a bloop hit. It just kind of got ugly. He had a 4-pitch walk. I think he was frustrated. But you look at the video here. Grant Taylor is well filled out. He's got strong lower half, like a Spencer Strider-esque lower half. It's a big fastball, kind of cuts it a little bit at times, gets up to 98. He was down in low range of 94, so 94 to 98 range for Grant Taylor on the fastball. He threw a good changeup at 88. Slider was in the 86 to 87 range. And the curveball, he threw the curveball a lot, 83 to 85 mile an hour range. Those breaking balls are distinct pitches there. I love the arsenal, and I still love Grant Taylor personally. I am not out on him. This is obviously a guy that was breaking out early in the minor league season before he obviously went down with a lat strain. He missed all year. First game action back is in the AFL. Taylor's stat line does not look good in the AFL, but I do think that creates a good buying opportunity. Could really care less about any of these guys' stat lines. I'm looking at the quality of what they bring to the table, and Grant Taylor has it. He's got the stuff. This is a decent lineup that he faced, actually. You see some of the Mets guys, Jet Williams, Drew Gilbert. It had Thyron Lorenzo in it. Sammy Siani's looked really good in the AFL, too. So he faced a good lineup, just an inning of work, sadly. But I would not change my opinion on Grant Taylor at all. He's still a guy that I really like, and I think he's going to have a strong 2025 season if he can be healthy, because this is somebody that did have Tommy John in college and then had the lat strain that caused him to miss most of this year.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits apply to for 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
One more pitcher before we get to the hitters. It's Matt Svanson. Matt Svanson is a reliever with the Cardinals. He's someone that I was really impressed by, honestly. I thought he had a really good inning of work. And I look at this profile. It was a mid to upper 90s fastball and a slider in the low to mid 80s, 83 to 85 range. We'll share this on the screen so you can see it. Only inning of work, so not a lot of film here. But Matt Svanson, fun arm. I think he's a future MLB reliever, big frame, big stuff. He kind of gets a little bit of crossbody there. He hides the ball very well. That fastball can explode on you. Then he dumps that slider down. Fastball is a little arm side run, as you saw there. There's another one. Hitters look a little confused on it. And then he gets you with that slider, just absolutely wipe out pitch. Big fan of Matt Svanson and what he brings to the table. I think Svanson is certainly an MLB reliever. Somebody to know if you're in a deeper dynasty league where relievers matter. Matt Svanson, S-V-A-N-S-O-N. Let's get to some hitters. Now, this team has a lot of fun hitters in their lineup. I really liked what I saw from a lot of these guys. Obviously, big names like Matt McClain. He's an MLBer. Don't need to see a lot from him to know that he's a good bat. But obviously, it's been good to see him perform. He had an absolute moonshot. I'll show you that swing here really quick. He hit one 431 at 102 off the bat. Pull that up here. As a side note, this is important to remember that this kind of environment is really important to think about. I mean, he had a tank there as a slow-mo swing. It's a great swing from a ball up in the zone. Dead center, 431. But the hitting environment's crazy in the AFL. 431 feet to dead center, 102 off the bat. I looked up how often this actually happens. It doesn't happen often at all. This year, 5 times total. Did a hitter homer, and it went 430 feet at least and had exit velocity of 102 or less. Every one of them was Coors Field. I looked back the last 4 years. Happened 16 times. 13 of those times was Coors Field. 2 were Chase Field. Maybe the roof is open. I need to look. I don't know. And the other was Busch, which is actually kind of interesting. St. Louis. The hitting environment is whack. I would not even care about much of what hitters do out here. Stat lines are skewed. It doesn't matter at the end of the day. I'm looking for so much more, and that's what I'm hoping to give you. The biggest thing to me, Matt McClain looked healthy. His BP sessions were really, really good. They just looked so much better, so much cleaner than any other hitter, which is important to note because I think that this is a professional bat that barrels up balls extremely well. I mean, he's a guy that is going to be back up. He's going to hit. He's going to perform. Another guy that should be up very soon, that's Thomas Sejesi of the Cardinals. Sejesi did nothing but hit in my looks all week. Thomas Sejesi hit, he hit, and he hit some more. Sejesi looked really good. He goes no batting gloves. It's really interesting. But you watch him here. It's an interesting swing. The backhand, it does something interesting. And I can't figure out why it really bothers me. But I kind of wonder if he's going to struggle to get to faster velocity. A lot of his pitches that he hit, he's deeper in the box with that. Sorry, as it keeps going to Ben Rawls. So JC was, I mean, he's been really good. Not going to lie to you. A lot of contact. He's a guy that plays above the EVs. I mean, just what he is. He didn't really hit any like super hard balls, but it's a guy that's going to put the ball in the gap. He's going to put pressure on fielders. Like, he's rounding first aggressively every time, pushing towards second. And I don't know. I'm interested because of how his hands are like this, if you can kind of see. I'll pull the video back up. I think it can work. It's worked his entire career. I don't have a problem with it. But again, it's something that I noted that was like, okay, can this really work? Again, swing works, quick hands, quick wrist. So JC got to a lot of balls. He hit in every game that I saw him. So I think Sajacy's an everyday player for the Cardinals pretty soon. Wouldn't be shocked if it's opening day. I mean, with the moves they've made, such as like Paul Goldschmidt on the outs, if they trade Nolan Arenado, then certainly there's time. But it allows players to be in more of their natural positions, hopefully. Jordan Walker, get him to DH, we hope, even some first base maybe. We'll see. But at the end of the day, you know, I think that Thomas Sajacy is a guy that's going to perform in 2025 and perform a lot. Another guy, Matt McClain's brother Sean, is on this team. He's pretty interesting. Sean McClain's had a really good AFL. He's built smaller, much like Matt. He smoked a line drive off the wall. Hits the ball hard. I mean, he's done a lot of good. He had a triple the other day where, yeah, I looked at the data. It was really good on it. I think Sean McClain's interesting because his numbers this year were not great. They were actually very disappointing in single A and high A for a college bat. But looking at him and watching him, I actually like Sean McClain a little bit. So he's a hitter that I'm actually keeping an interesting, a close eye on to see because, yeah, I think the prospect is interesting here. He's got a big leg kick. He's got a little bit of pre-swing movement. Maybe that's why he had struggled some. But at the end of the day, you know, I look at Sean McClain and we know the skills are there. He performed in college. He's a good bat. And you look at the surface, he's outperformed his brother in the AFL so far. He's been better than Matt. I'm interested in Sean McClain in deeper leagues, but he's more of a watch list guy. Like, he hits the ball where it's pitched. He's going to spray line drives. Can he limit the strikeouts? That's kind of my question with him. It's like, can he limit the strikeouts enough to where he's a guy that I want to be invested in? Edwin Arroyo. Edwin Arroyo obviously missed the entire year this year. He's looked pretty good. Left and right side in the AFL. I've seen him from both sides. I like the swing a little better from the left side. Here's the left side swing. I'll need to pull up the right side as well. I've not got that on YouTube. He tripled on this ball, smoked down the line. Slow-mo swing. He got out in front of it. Did a lot of good things there. Let's go back to that instead of Sean. Boom, quick hands, quick wrist. Explosive lower half. He starts really open, which is interesting. Let's see if I can find another video on him. He's very open. He kind of stays open as well. It's an interesting swing, big leg kick, but I like Arroyo a good bit. I think he's a good rebound candidate. Kind of the out of sight, out of mind kind of thing with him where he did not play at all in 2024 prior to the AFL. Prospect stock may be down. Maybe it's a chance for you to buy on him in your dynasty leagues. So Edwin Arroyo, somebody to keep an eye on. He looked good from both sides. I have not apparently posted any of his swings on from the right side on Twitter either. No, I have some. Trying to find them. But Edwin Arroyo is an interesting bat. Good glove at shortstop as well. So somebody just to keep an eye on. I think that I would watch him pretty closely. Let me see if I can share this tab. It's up now. I think I've got one of him from both sides on this window right here. Let's see. Here we go. I think this is only a left-hand swing. Dadgummit. Anyway, I've got one somewhere. I will get it. But again, that's a pretty explosive swing right there. I like Arroyo a lot and am interested in what he brings to the table. So Edwin Arroyo, watch out for him. That's kind of the infield of this team. The outfield, obviously, is the most fun because we get to talk about Zaire Hope. Hope is interesting. Zaire Hope is built. He's built like a bowling ball. He's small. He's 5'10". I stood next to him on the field, and I think that this is absolutely accurate. Like, he's definitely 5'10". But he's strong. Like, he is well filled out for a 19-year-old. Like, look at those quads. Look at his frame. I'm not sure this video does it justice. He hit a ball an absolute mile that went foul. I think it was that first swing right there. It went 450 at least, just hooked around the line, foul. That's that slow-mo swing you see right there. Let's go back to that swing again and see it. Man, he got all of it. He just hooked just a tad bit foul. You know, I saw Hope a decent bit this week. I think I saw him in three games. Hope is interesting. Obviously, he's got more helium than any prospect in baseball. I have been told that a major outlet is going to have him very, very high when the update comes out. Hope, obviously, deserves the love. I mean, he missed time during the year, but when he was on the field in single A, he was elite. That's what it was. The data was off the charts. A 108.5, 90th percentile exit velocity, that's elite. I mean, we're talking about like a range of like Junior Caminero was in this year. That smokes what Junior Caminero was when he was 19. The end zone contact rate, 87%, very good. Impressive mark. Overall contact rate was very good as well. He doesn't chase. I mean, we're talking about somebody that had like a 17% chase rate. It's just absurd what Zaire Hope did. Obviously, I want to see him at the higher levels. Something that I will say that gave me a little bit of pause was breaking balls. He did not seem to pick up spin well. He hammers fastballs, but the breaking balls, it's like he didn't seem to pick them up too well. Right or wrong there. That's what I saw in the three games. Small sample, obviously. He set on some breaking balls that were called third strikes. He swung through some good breaking balls that were, you know, just out of the zone. I think Hope's a really good player. I've got Hope in my top, I think he's top 25. I'm hesitant to go top five on him yet, but I do think there's an argument. The data was elite. Hope's a good athlete. He's a good runner. He checks a lot of boxes that you want to see. I want to see him above single A. So probably starts in high A. Maybe they skip him a double. Also would not be shocked if they skipped him a double A. The Dodgers get aggressive with guys. They know Hope is a great player. He's a great athlete. He was good in center field. He's got really good range. He tracks down balls. So at the end of the day, Zaire Hope may be someone that starts in double A and skips high A altogether. I mean, Great Lakes is their high A affiliate. Very cold to begin the year. Ultimately, I think Hope's somebody that they really like. They're going to push aggressively. And I think he's pretty ready. So don't be shocked when he's pushed to double A. Don't be shocked when he finishes the year in triple A. I mean, he'll be in the majors at 20 or 21. Wouldn't shock me at all. So I look at Hope as a potential star player. It's what he is. He checks all the boxes. He hit 1.470 in the fall league. Again, distance doesn't really matter all that much. As I said, just given the fact that, you know, the environment's stupid. I don't think the environment really affects exit velocities all that much, though. He's hit a ball 110.6 out here. Obviously, that 9th percentile that I mentioned, really, really good. His zone contact and, you know, overall contact here, solid. And the chase rate, 17% in the AFL, right in line with what he did in the regular season. I like Gabriel Rincones a lot as well. He's someone that had a bit of a down year. He missed some time. He got hot at one point. I'm still very much in on Rincones. He's just a ball player. He's very built. He looks the part. He's got a really strong frame. And if you didn't know anything about him, you just saw him, I think that Gabriel Rincones, yeah, this is a dude. Here's one of his swings. I mean, he's just well built, strong frame. I think he's listed at 6'2". He's a good runner. I mean, he can mash. He's got really quick hands. He got really inside that ball. Show you again. I mean, I think he's just an impressive athlete. He's not the fastest clock times, but he's very good on the base paths. Somebody that ultimately, he reads pitchers well. He's getting good jumps and steals. I wouldn't write off Rincones yet. I think he's still a top 10 prospect for me in the Philly system. Like what he brings to the table a lot. So he's the last person I want to hit on here. Nathan Church is interesting, kind of like a leadoff type guy where he set the table well a couple of times. Really liked what I saw from him. Jake Geloff hit some hard balls as well. Obviously, that's Zach's brother. He is somebody that had an up and down year, but I liked what I saw from him at times. Look at some more pitchers. Christian McGowan of the Phillies is really solid. Command is his issue. Griff McGarry, same thing. If those guys figure it out, there's interesting stuff. Bryson Motz of the Cardinals, he came in one or two innings of relief, I think. Lefty, 90 mile an hour. It's kind of a command over control with decent stuff. Leonardo Bernal is the one that I did miss that I wanted to highlight. Leo Bernal is a lot of fun. I'll pull up his video for you real quick. Bernal's underrated. He can absolutely mash. He has a powerful stroke. He had a big time bomb in one of the games at Glendale. Let me see if I can show you this real quick, because he is one that I did have on my notes that I just absolutely whiffed on. So here's this Leonardo Bernal home run. Big power, big frame, decent mind the plate. Here's a slow-mo of that home run. Smacked. I like Bernal a lot, and he's a good power-hitting catcher. Good feel to hit. Definitely interested in him. Also realize I failed to mention Otto Kemp. I'm just whiffing on a lot of these guys, apparently. Otto Kemp is a guy that I think will be a util guy with the Phillies as soon as 2025. I mean, he's put up some big flies. He's lifting the ball more in the AFL. That's an encouraging sign to me. He plays all over the infield. Otto Kemp. I don't know. I'm getting tongue-tied here as I've talked for 30 minutes. Here is Otto Kemp. Good frame. Good athlete. Good swing. That home run was to dead center. I think it came off at 107. He's got pop. I mean, he's hit him pretty hard this year. If I'm not mistaken, he has one well over 110. I do want to confirm that just to make sure. Yeah, well over 110. 116 was Otto Kemp's hardest hit ball out here. I think Otto Kemp can be a guy that the Phillies utilize in 2025. I mentioned good hit tool, good athlete, good power. So definitely know Otto Kemp's name too. I think that's going to wrap up the Glendale Desert Dogs. Fun team. A lot of fun guys, as I mentioned. Not every team's going to have that many guys to discuss. We're 30 minutes in. But thank you so much for hanging out today. We'll be back with you every day. That's my promise to you as the listener. We will record every single day during the week, at least, give you something to talk about. We are nearly through the National League on our team-by-team prospect reports on the Dynasty Dugout website. So check that out. I think you'll enjoy those. I've got write-ups on 30 players for each org and ranked 50. It's pretty good stuff, in my opinion. A lot of underlying data, live looks, etc. So go check that out on the site. We're getting ready to drop some new rankings as well. So you'll have to wait and see, but those will be ready soon. Thanks for hanging out with me. We will see you guys tomorrow.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.